Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What do people seek when they go to church on Sunday? Do they seek a lesson on self-improvement or 12 steps with getting along with the family? Do they seek a how-to sermon filled with marvelous illustrations and stories, or do they go to receive the forgiveness of sins, the bestowal of God's love? In the church of today, there is a great deal of variety, a variety in what one hears proclaimed in a sermon on a Sunday morning or any other time. In the past month, I've heard 3 sermons at district conventions, and they've been rather interesting, varying from one point to another, some of them being rightly divided. Law and gospel sermons. In the text before us today, we have a portion of the first Christian sermon. And as students and teachers of the art, we might all be able to gather some pointers from Peter. In the text, we see that he certainly knew his audience, who they were and what they had been doing. We also see that he didn't worry about offending them, and he sure didn't strive to entertain them. And while his sermon didn't come about through an intense study of a text, trying to figure out all the grammatical structures of it, while he hadn't written out a manuscript that he stood up to read after having it approved by someone, working over it for many hours, there on that day, a sermon of lasting importance was preached, and he brought a message of the truth that would free thousands of people that day. What Peter did in the public square was to fearlessly proclaim the truth about Christ in that once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. For there on Pentecost, with a whole crowd of people mocking the proclamation of the mighty deeds of God by Galileans in the language of Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians, Cappadocians, and a whole bunch of others, he stood up and proclaimed the law, "You rejected the Christ. You crucified him and killed him by the hands of the lawless people, the Romans." And then he said, "Let all of the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." And then he declared the gospel. This Jesus God raised up. And we're all witnesses of it. And being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this which you yourselves are seeing and hearing. God indeed was in action there. Peter's preaching wasn't lengthy, but it convicted them. He didn't mess around. He proclaimed the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the plan for the salvation of the world. And that was enough to set the world of his time ablaze. His preaching cut to the heart. Cut them to the heart, the text says. The preaching of God's word is effective. That day, for those people there, there was no avoiding the truth, no blaming somebody else. Somebody told me to do it or said it was okay. They were guilty and they knew it, and so they admitted it. Brothers, what shall we do? Peter's answer was, repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repentance. This the Holy Spirit worked in those people this day, that day, through the word. The hearts of those men were pierced, and they were changed through the preaching of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. They were changed from men who rejected the Christ to men who would confess him. God has made the plan. It is complete. And it was given to men like Peter, and it's been given to men like you. And so, like Peter, we work the plan. We proclaim the law. We proclaim the gospel. We administer his sacraments. We proclaim that the sins of each of us separate us from the fellowship with God and with each other. And we proclaim that the forgiveness of sin is available for all, even those who have rejected the truth of Jesus Christ. This forgiveness, however, is not without cost. Indeed, this forgiveness came at the price of God's own Son. And this forgiveness is now delivered as it was that day through word and sacrament. We need nothing else. Through Peter, God worked a miracle that day. By the proclamation of the law and the gospel and the administration of the sacrament of holy baptism, the Holy Spirit brought 3,000 to faith that day, as the text continues. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Today, God still works miracles. Today, God still works them in the same way. Yes, we do need to study the word. There is much in that Hebrew and that Greek. We still have the same word of the Old Testament that Peter studied as a boy, those same words that he heard Jesus proclaim. And so it must be proclaimed. As Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. What do people look for in a sermon? It's not always what they need. It is not always what they want. But Peter gave us a pattern to follow. Preach Christ. Preach him and him crucified. Preach Christ risen from the grave. Preach Christ returning. And then let the chips fall where they may. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.